Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Lorianne Matzik. I am on staff here as a co-leader of the praise band at our 10:30 service. I'm also on staff here now as the, is it called a preaching associate? And I guess I'll explain what that means. I am an ordained pastor, but I am not a called pastor here. But what I am here to do is to fill in and effectively do pulpit supply about up to 12 times through the year. So right out of the gate, here I am. I'm also volunteering in this transition since Pastor Anna left. I have been volunteering and helping out with teaching and leadership in the Impact Youth Program on Sunday nights. I also will confess I'm a Viking fan, and no, I will not be trolling you this morning with the Packers, because I have watched the Vikings this year, and I know better. It's at Lambeau Field, and it ain't happening. So don't worry, I'm not going to be trolling anybody today. But I do also want to point out that, as you can see, I also appear to have gotten the short straw, and I'm talking about stewardship and money this morning. In all seriousness, though, when Mike asked me which stewardship sermon I felt like I should be giving, I realized I could say something at all of these weeks from time, talent, and treasure. But really, in praying about it, this is the one that I really felt the Holy Spirit telling me this is the one I was supposed to do. And you'll find out why as we get into the sermon. So let's start out with that first slide, if you could bring that up. We are talking about the parable of the talents. We have pew Bibles there in front of you. I invite you to open it up. Take a look. We're going to be looking at the parable of the talents, which is one of Jesus' parables that he dealt with, money. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And a talent, just so you know we tend to think of it as like talents, like things we can do. In this case, a talent is actually a measure of money. So when we're looking at that, that's what we're talking about. I don't know I could translate it to the amount of what it would be worth today, and I'm not even going to try. But just know it's a measure of money, and that's what Jesus is talking about. So as you heard read by Lorraine, thank you, I appreciate that. The whole story is about a master who's going away. He has servants, and he tells them, okay, here's this measure of money. Here's what I want you to do. Go and do something with it. Bring it back to me, and bring it back earning more for me. And so two of them go off and do exactly what they've been asked by their master. They go, they take the talents that have been given them, and effectively they double what's been given to them, and they bring it back to their master. But there was a different one, as you heard. One servant was very different. And that's always what we need to pay attention to in Jesus' parables, right? That different thing. Well, in this case, this servant decided, nah, I'm just going to bury this in the ground. Which is a curious thing when you think about it, but we'll get to that in a moment. So the servants who have doubled what the master has given them come back. They bring it to the master when he returns, and the master praises them, says, well done, good and faithful servant. He promotes them, and he says, you can enter into my joy. Now, the different servant, the one that we really need to pay attention to, of course, he says something very curious. He's supposed to be a servant serving the master, right? You'd think there'd be a good relationship there, but clearly something is very wrong. Because he says to his master, well, I knew you were a hard man, and I knew you were going to reap where you don't sow, and so I was afraid, and I just buried it. And so that's what he does. Now, the master, of course, I mean, he's had these other servants who've been very willing, and this guy isn't behaving like a servant. And so he says to him, you wicked, lazy servant. And he throws him out into the darkness. Nice uplifting story, right? All right, so that's the synopsis. Let's get into two important details. I think we really need to pay attention to this parable to really unpack it and understand what Jesus is trying to tell us. If you could pull up the next slide. Yep, there we go. First and foremost, the talents do not belong to the servants. Everything belongs to the master, including the servants themselves. It all belongs to the master in the story. These servants don't own anything. So that's an important point to get. The second point is that what the servants end up doing with these talents is going to be reflective of what their relationship is with the master. There's the two servants who clearly seem to have a good relationship with the master. The master asks them to do it. They're all too happy to do it. They get promoted and enter into their master's joy. And one servant clearly has a very wrong relationship with the master. Something is not right there. So what these servants do is reflective of their relationship. Now, Jesus, when he gave parables, it was always to teach and unpack what God is like, or what we are called to do as his people. And in this parable, what Jesus is doing, of course, is he's showing us, first and foremost, the master in this story is God himself. And we are the servants. So knowing that piece, then we can start understanding a little bit more about what Jesus is telling us. So if you want to pull up that next slide. In light of what we just talked about, that the talents don't belong to the servants, and the servants don't own anything, and the master owns everything, what that means for us then is God owns everything. We don't own anything. It is all gift. It is all on loan. It all belongs to God. There's no ownership for us. And likewise, we are God's. We belong to God. He is our creator. And as we've been talking about on this Christ the King Sunday, he sent his son, the only king, to go to the cross and bleed for us. And we have been bought with a price. We belong to God. We don't own anything, and God owns everything. The next point then, like we talked about the relationship of the servants to the master, everything is going to flow out of your relationship with God. How you treat the time, the talent, and the treasure that God has entrusted and gifted to you is going to flow out of that relationship, whatever that is with God. Your heart toward God is going to determine how you respond to his call on your life. As you just heard the choir sing this gorgeous song about everything is for God, right? That is our calling, to live for God. That all he has entrusted to us is what we are supposed to give back to him. That we seek him, that we ask him, God, what do you want me to do with what you have entrusted to me? And then our hearts listen to his voice. Seek what he wants us to do, how he wants us to use what he has given us that is owned by him anyway. And then he wants us to be a part of his gracious love in this world, to be his servants, to testify to his wonderful grace, his generosity. That is his call on our lives. But if our hearts aren't there, we can't hear that, and we can't respond to that. So what gets in the way? What gets into our hearts? Sin, right? And let's be honest. Time, talent, treasures, we get to thinking it's all ours. We get to thinking, it's my time, my talent. I own this. These are my possessions. These are my things. I've worked for them. I deserve them. I've worked hard. I'm entitled. Right? It creeps in. It does. Money has power, whether we're willing to acknowledge it or not. It does. If you look at our culture, we are so wealthy. I know you're thinking, oh, but you don't know. I barely scrape by. No. You just go to rural Africa, and you see people have nothing. We are so wealthy. We have so much, and we can't even see it because it owns us. We chase down financial security. We chase down possessions, whether we're willing to acknowledge it or not. You open your email, what do you see? Black Friday sales, right? Financial security. Have your nest egg ready. You want to be ready for retirement. You want security. You want comfort. And that's exactly what our culture keeps telling us. And we buy it. We buy into it. And we find our comfort and our security in the things of this world. It crowds into our hearts and it crowds out God. And it's such a slippery slope. And it happens so fast and so easy. Our culture has made it okay to covet, to want things, to earn for things, and then to think it's all ours. The way of the world, the thoughts of the world creep in and they take hold of our heart. They do. And it can twist and contort and prevent us from having a right relationship with God, to see God for who he truly is, and to understand God really is the owner of all these things, not us. And God in his mercy doesn't want us to get caught up in this. We have been created with a God-shaped hole in our life that only God can fill and nothing else. Small g gods, the things we chase after and that we fill our hearts with, will never satisfy. Money has power. Jesus spent a lot of time talking about it for that very reason. A lot of time. You just open the book of Matthew especially, it comes up a lot. In fact, I'd like you to pull up the next slide. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." You see, God loves us too much than to let money crowd into our life. And sometimes we just think, well, God just wants my money. No. He does not want your money. He wants your heart. He paid a price for it. Jesus came and died on the cross to set us free from the things that crowd into our heart. And he loves us too much than to let those things stay there. If you could pull up that next slide. The servant that we need to pay attention to in the story is the one we have to be so careful of in our own lives. Because when this stuff crowds into our heart, we begin to sound an awful lot like this servant. Our attitude toward God changes. We turn inward. And God becomes a hard man. And we become afraid of him. And we start thinking we don't want him reaping where he doesn't sow, that this is stuff we earned, that we own. And our heart becomes hardened and twisted, and we can't hear God for who he is. We can't see God for who he is. But God wants to set us free. Really, what this is it's a heart check. We are called to seek and recognize the things that do crowd into our hearts and the things God wants to set us free from. I want to tell a story, a personal story, that I think will hopefully shed some light. 3 years ago, Mike went through cancer treatments, and he finally reached a point of remission, and we were so thankful. It was about the end of the summer, and we breathed a sigh of relief. And within a month or two, we started seeing something strange around our house. This white kind of fuzzy stuff started developing on wooden surfaces in our house. I thought, okay, this is weird. Is this dust? What's going on? We'd clean it, and it came right back. And we started thinking, is this mold? What's going on? And so we reached out and had an environmental tester come in, and long story short, he said, yeah, you got mold all over your house, and it's starting to manifest itself all over. It's all in the environment, and you're going to have somebody come in and clean it all out. So we went from Mike having cancer to our house having cancer of a sort. And it was the weirdest most surreal, I can't even come up with adjectives anymore, experience, because I'd never heard of anything like this happening to somebody. And here we were living it, and we went through this period of having these environmental, after the environmental tester, we had to have people come in to estimate how much it was going to cost, and it was ridiculous. And basically what they said is, okay, well, if you don't want to pay that much, go through your house and get rid of everything, basically. Whatever you don't want to pay to clean, get rid of it. And so we talk about a heart check. If you want to pull up that picture of our dumpster, yep, see that industrial-sized dumpster? We filled that thing. We filled it. Because we had to. We had no other choice. And I spent weeks building up to the people coming in to clean, going through every single item in the house and having to say, is this worth it or not? Every single thing in the house. It was crazy. And honestly, I didn't know what to do or where to go. I just felt like I got nothing. I don't know. I had nothing but God. And so I just pressed in because I didn't know what else to do. I had nowhere else to go. If you're familiar with Toby Mac or Skillet or David Crowder or any of those worship or Christian groups, I lived in that music. I played it constantly as I was going through everything in the house and chucking it all in a dumpster. But as I did it, I felt God was going through my heart and chucking the stuff that didn't belong to him in the dumpster too. It was a cleaning. And it needed to happen. And God, in his graciousness, in his goodness, gave me that time. I never would have thought that that would be the thing, but, well, you know, God works in mysterious ways, right? And at the time, I kept thinking, why is this happening? Well, God just said, don't ask why, but just know I'm here, and I'm all you need. It was a heart check. And I also can't help but think now that as I was praying and asking what I was supposed to be doing with this message, that God also laid it on my heart to say, this is the message needed today. This is what I'm supposed to share with you now. Because God is calling us, every one of us in this room, including me, to a continual heart check. Where are you? Where is your heart? Are things crowding out your heart? It may not be consumerism or money. I mean, it could be you feel so out of control that you have to control everything. Or you've been so hurt and scarred by things happening to you in your life that you carry these scars and unforgiveness is filling your heart. I don't know, but God does. And he wants to help you through it. He wants to help your heart heal, to become right with him. As it says in Ezekiel chapter 36, God promises he will take our heart of stone, our hearts hardened with sin, and he will give us a new heart, a heart that is tender toward him, a heart that reflects his love, his generosity, his graciousness, his kindness, his self-control, every bit of the fruits of the Spirit, that he will give us that heart, and he will give us a new spirit and put a new spirit within us, a Holy Spirit that cleanses us, that heals us, that helps us live the life that he is calling us to live as his servants, like a heart that is free from the things of this world, free from worry, free from doubt, free from a desire to control, free from the stuff of this world, and to know that he is all we need. There is nothing to fear. He wants to be everything for us, because as you heard the choir sing, he wants us to be his hands and feet in this world, reflecting his love, reflecting his generosity, his graciousness, his kindness, his love. He wants us to be that in this world. And we cannot do it without him, without a change of heart, without his Holy Spirit living in and through us. If you could bring up that last slide. We want to hear him say, when we die and we see him face to face, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We want to hear him say that to us. And so we are called to give our hearts to him. And the way that happens is to seek him, to let the Holy Spirit show us what is in our hearts, what we need to give to God to be healed, and then worship him. Press in. Worship is the key. Worship is what is going to change your heart. And so I encourage you today and every day this week, press in. Worship him. Whatever worship music you need that feeds your soul, bathe yourself in worship. Let him minister to your heart and change it. It's a heart check. So let us pray. Oh, dear God, you love us so much. And we fill our hearts with so many things that are not of you. You still love us. And Lord, we thank you that you love us so much you died for us to set us free from these things, to set us free from sin, death, and the devil, and to redeem us, to change our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh, hearts that are receptive to you, that can hear your voice. And as you entrust us with time, talent, and treasure that is all yours, change our hearts. Help us to know how you want us to use these things for your glory. And so we press in. God, we give you our hearts. Show us what we need to repent of and give to you. Show us, Lord, so we can be set free. And guide us this week, Lord. Guide us in pressing in and worshiping you, letting our hearts be changed, because it is a heart check, Lord. And we want to hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You took what I entrusted to you, and you did as I wanted you to do. You listened to my voice. You pressed in. You asked what you wanted me to do, what you wanted us to do. And but then we were obedient to doing it." Change our hearts, God. Change us. Oh, may your Holy Spirit minister to us in this week. And we pray and thank you for all you are going to do and all you will do in us as individuals and as this church, as you raise us up to be like you. Amen. And I